Office of Personnel Management Director Catherine Archuleta will be taking questions tomorrow on your turn with Mike Causey. My colleague Jason Miller joins me here. She's going to be on your turn with Mike tomorrow.
Starting not my
at
turn, your turn.
No, it's your turn with Mike Causey. Right, don't take us down there or we'll run out of time. That's from 10 to 11, and that's on both 1500 AM and on federalnewsradio.com. And then she's going to stick around for an online chat, and she and Mike are going to go online. He had a great time doing that with Tammy Flanagan a couple weeks ago.
That was an incredible amount of people. We had over 1,000 people on that one.
It's really amazing.
We're going to break a new record with OPM Director.
Well, that's what we're shooting for. That's tomorrow morning at 11. The online chat is there on federalnewsradio.com, but you can sign up for it now, like your online chats.
Correct.
And Mike's, and you can start submitting questions already, so that as soon as Ms. Archuleta gets on the online chat tomorrow, if you couldn't get through on the show and talk to her on the show, you can get your question already submitted and be first in line. You can cut the line, essentially, for the online chat.
And I already know we already have more than 100 people have already registered, and some questions are starting to come in.
Excellent.
So plenty of things that are going on and something to look forward to.
That is tomorrow morning, 10 to 11, Catherine Archuleta on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, on Your Turn with Mike Causey, and also streaming on federalnewsradio.com. And then they go web only at 11 for the online chat on federalnewsradio.com. The strategy for the Network Services 2020 telecommunications contract focuses on expanding the number of vendors offering services. During the creation of the current contract called Networks, the General Services Administration limited competition to 5 large carriers. Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller, who you just heard a moment ago, here to discuss how GSA is trying to learn from its mistakes of the past as it develops the new NS2020 strategy. I wonder if everybody at GSA would agree with you that it was a mistake. They might have a different word for it. But what are they doing this time around to grow the number of vendors who will be able to compete here, Jason?
Well, I think it's part of this strategy development. One of the things that GSA has done is really reach out to industry and say, what do we do right? What didn't go so well? What can we do better? And it's not just industry, but they've also reached out to agencies. And in fact, GSA responses to GSA's first major, if you will, piece of this strategy called the RFI for what they call EIS, Enterprise Infrastructure Solutions, were due just last week. So industry got to respond to the first kind of request for information. And then what GSA is basically realizing is that not every contract holder has to offer services that are only nationwide. That's not good for competition. Instead, GSA is breaking down the U.S. into 3 regions, Northeast, Central, and Western. And if any carrier can provide, let's say, services out west, but not in the East, maybe they'll just bid on that geographic region. Fred Haynes is GSA's program manager for NS2020 and the EIS acquisition.
Open up this deal, because what I don't want to have happen is what happened under Networks back in the day. What should be the minimum requirement, geographic, for it to provide a compliant proposal? Well, we're based ours on, okay, you know, it's global. Figured we'd tier it, that those larger corporations, you know, like the networks providers, who may or may, you know, make a decision that they don't want to lose the business that they have, would bid that capability, so, you know, it'd be CONUS to no CONUS. Okay, great. But what about the national-based carriers? So we came up with a concept of core-based statistical areas, metropolitan areas. And we did extensive analysis on that, and we came up at looking at, based on our market analysis, who we think may be willing to play this time. It's a double-digit number. What should that minimum geographic requirement be?
Haynes says the RFI responses actually is going to help GSA answer that question. He says no matter what GSA eventually does settle upon, it's the idea of competition's got to be at the forefront of their mind. Haynes and Kevin Gallo, GSA's NS2020 program manager, spoke last week at the Independent Telecommunications Pioneer Association, or IPTA, event in Arlington. Now, Haynes says the end goal is to make sure the winners under EIS can provide the quality service the government needs no matter where they're bidding from, meaning which geographical region. And let me be clear about the geographical region as GSA sees it today. It's not broken up. You know, GSA has these regions,
yes.
I think 9 or 10 regions. It's not broken up that way. It really is East, West, and Central. 3 regions.
That's it.
That's it.
Okay. Now, I would have to say the word that covers how most vendors are looking at this right now is consternation because of what happened with Networks. What are they doing? How are they planning for this to try to make it different than networks? He got to it a little bit, but there's more to it.
Competition is the first one, but I think there's several other things that they're looking at networks saying, we've got to do it better. So the first one is NS 2020 is not one contract. So they're not going to look at it and say, we're going to put out the big bang and let everyone compete. It's actually a series of contracts all providing an assortment of services. Now, to be fair, EIS is the big one. It will provide traditional voice, video, data, and data center related services, plus some emerging services that are delivered as managed services or what they call self-service delivery model. So EIS is what a lot of vendors are paying attention to. But again, Kevin Gallo says GSA recognizes that telecommunications market has changed over the last decade, which was the last time GSA planned a large-scale acquisition.
If you look at the way the government is procuring services, it is has been for a while now and is increasingly more and more procurements at the enterprise level. So we are also organizing to be able to provide services and respond to the changes there in the marketplace. So that's one aspect of the strategy. Systems and modernization of our systems, ordering, billing, inventory, expense management is another major initiative going on. And hand in hand with the systems is common and to the large extent automated processes, common systems there.
Now, beyond EIS, Gallo says GSA will take advantage of both existing contracts such as Schedule 70 or the recent satellite communications contract, and award new contracts such as ones for emerging technologies when obviously appropriate and necessary. GSA is also aware of the transition struggles both agencies and vendors had under networks. Haynes says GSA will help try to simplify the transition by reducing the number of what they call CLINs, or contract line item numbers, that come under NS 2020, or in this case EIS, to start with. He says under networks, there were more than 18,000 CLINs. This is an incredible amount. Now, GSA hopes to reduce that number greatly, even maybe down to 3,000.
The term of art that our contracts and legal people liked are unpriced CLINs, or under networks we call like agency unique CLINs. That'll live at the task order level. Networks today, what would happen is agencies go out for their fair opportunity decision, come back, make a decision, and then have to turn around and wait anywhere from 60 to 90 to 120 days to have additional items that weren't on the master contract modified to be put into the contract so they could begin the transition process and implement. We're not going to do that. Those CLINs that are agency unique that are not already sitting on the contract, pre-negotiated, will live at the task order level only. The ordering contracting officer, who will have lessons we're going to do from like what Alliant does, delegation of procurement authority, it'll be their responsibility to deal with the fair and reasonable assessment and make that decision. So it allows a lot more empowerment of the agency customers, as well as empowerment from you, our vendor community, to be able to offer and propose a solution that doesn't require every single time a contract modification on the master contract.
Now, this was a huge issue last time because every time the agency wanted to make a, hey, I want 50 CLINs, but this one that's not on there, they had to modify the main contract, and that is not an easy process. And I think GSA has heard industry and agencies say, you need to fix this problem. I think part of NS 2020 strategy is dealing with that issue.
I mentioned the apprehension that industry has toward the contract itself so far. Are they maybe a little more optimistic, at least about the strategy that GSA is employing so far?
I think so. And as GSA rolls out more information about it, they get more comfortable, which is the typical process. But I think there is some optimism. I mean, listen, at the event last Thursday, I talked to and heard from several different representatives from large carriers, consultants, and other interested parties, and I think there is that growing sense of optimism. Tony Bardo is Assistant Vice President for Government Solutions at Hughes Networks. He says Hughes decided not to bid on the networks contract last time around for several reasons, but GSA's approach so far has them thinking differently.
The environment they're creating is one for increased competition versus the sort of almost oligopoly that they've had on these programs over the years. They're certainly open to companies with a lot broader set of solutions and capabilities. So that's very encouraging. We are encouraged by the adherence to the schedule. In other words, they're really going to try to do something by, 2017. So, and have an overlap, which is a smart strategy because we know how long transition can take. It gives agencies room to breathe. It gives agencies that are ready to move on to the next contract sooner than later. So we find that very, very encouraging and an example of how GSA has been thinking about this.
That's Tony Bar- Bardo of Hughes, my colleague Jason Miller reporting. What is the timeline now for NS 2020? Network still has a little bit of time to go.
Absolutely. Now, Network still has through 2017. So GSA still has an aggressive schedule, starting with a draft RFP for the EIS procurement in the coming this November, and an RFP, a final RFP for EIS this year next time. Next year this time, Haynes says GSA expects to award the EIS and its corresponding regional contracts on a staggered basis, starting in late 2015 through early 2017. Now, there also may be a second RFI coming from GSA later this year, depending on the responses they get from their current set of RFIs. Now, they're also the other thing they're doing very smartly is planning a three-year transition to go from networks to EIS under NS2020. That's going to give agencies plenty of time, vendors plenty of time to deal with all the different challenges. So remember, they're just at the beginning stages. There's plenty of time for input and changes to be made. But I think so far, GSA is heading down an interesting path and potentially a good one.
Too early to get all wound up about it, right, in the vendor community?
Progress made, more progress needed.
Thank you, Mr. GAO. It's Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller. His reports at federalnewsradio.com.